From the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. Because a loveless world, said Jesus, is a sightless world. If anyone loves me, he will carefully keep my word, and my Father will love him. We'll move right into the neighborhood. Not loving me means not keeping my words. The message you are hearing isn't mine. It's the message of the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things while I'm still living with you. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. He will remind you of all the things I've told you. I'm leaving you well and whole, and that's my parting gift to you. Peace. I don't leave you the way you're used to being left, feeling abandoned, bereft. So don't be upset. Don't be distraught. You've heard me tell you, I'm going away and I'm coming back. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm on my way to the Father, because the Father is the goal and purpose of my life. I've told you this ahead of time, before it happens, so that when it does happen, the confirmation will deepen your belief in me. Here ends our scripture reading. May it be that all of us, each one of us, will be aware that we are not alone, but that the Holy Spirit that we just heard about in our scripture reading is indeed at work, even now, even this morning, right here in our midst. We all know that Valentine's Day is not meant to be celebrated in worship, and we are not planning to do it today either. Nevertheless, the Valentine's custom to express affection and love for those near and dear to us is in line with what we believe and what we do as Christians. Love and friendship is in the air, and today we cannot resist talking about it. Today we want to tell and show all our family and friends how much we really need and how much we really appreciate them. Now, there are many stories about relationships between people. A certain woman on her deathbed turned to her husband and instructed, "Earl, after I'm gone, I want you to find someone else to love." "If you say so, dear," Earl answered. Then she went on, "She can have all my jewelry if she wants." "All right, dear," Earl said. "And all my clothes." "Oh, that won't work, dear. She's a size 10 and you're a size 14. So much for that relationship. John's Gospel describes one of the final discussions between Jesus and his followers. And at that time, at that moment, the setting was intimate. We know that the writing was already on the wall, so the disciples were talking about their fears and about their uncertainties. And Jesus just wouldn't concentrate on that topic. Instead, he talked about his love and his concern for them. No fear for himself. And he said to them, "I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. The peace that I give is not fragile like the peace that the world gives. So through our connection with God, even under the most difficult circumstances, peace of mind and heart is always with us. That's the assurance of our faith. That's the call of our faith, no matter what. It is an inner peace and blessed assurance that reside within us so that we can live life to the fullest. So that we can learn how to deal with one another. Yes, and even learn how to endure hardship without fear of ever losing hope. Even in the worst hurricane of our lives, there is always a rainbow of hope. And I think some of you may wonder, is that really true? And I know there's many people here in church this morning who've had experience throughout their lifetime that may agree with me. Us as ministers, there's a few of us here this morning, can assure you that we've seen peace of mind and heart so evident on the faces of God's children in the closing moments of their lives. Even while entering the darkest valley of death, I've seen hope and expectation and joy in many of those faces. When you and I are at peace with God, our faith provides us with a foundation of peace for mind and heart to deal with and strengthen all our human relationships. And in this busy world of ours, many still crave, have a desperate need for that kind of peace. Peace of mind and heart. For people with young children, the words peace and home may not always exactly go together. For instance, two men talked about world problems, high taxes, the cost of living, and finally the topic moved and they spoke about their families. "Well, I have three kids," one of them said proudly. "Such a nice family," sighed the other man. And then he said, "Know what? I wish to heaven I had three children." "Don't you have any children?" the proud father asked with a touch of sympathy in his voice. "Oh, yes, I have," sighed the other. "I have six." We're talking about relations. Sometimes it's easier to talk about it than to experience it. And that leads us to the question, now how can one find peace in the home? It's always such an experience to see when a couple get married. Even yesterday afternoon, it was my privilege to marry a couple on the beach. And the wind was already blowing. And I wish you could see their faces. The sincerity of love. The moment while they were repeating the promises to one another. How can we keep that love, that peace? And how can we even strengthen the precious ties that bind us as husband and wives, parents and children? How can we do that? As Christians, there is a way provided for us. And I think a good place to begin is to understand that each one of us has a need for recognition. We all need to be noticed. We all have the need to be appreciated. And it's when people no longer feel appreciated that something goes amiss inside. A feeling of unfulfillment in their lives. A few words of kindness can make someone's day. And I think it's also true in our households, also our younger households. We find peace in the home by making some recognition for each and every one around us. Keep telling them. When my wife tells me she loves me, I said, yeah, I know. That's not true. That's not true. We have learned. We have learned to appreciate and love one another. But do we still say it? Do we still sometimes just look deep in each other's eyes and say, you know what? I appreciate you. I love you. You're so precious. We're living in a time of bewilderment. And about permanent relations, not only between nations, not only between political parties, I may add, where utterance of love seldom is heard. And when it's spoken, it sometimes seems so meaningless, and even that, even kind words, can sometimes be interpreted in different ways. So in search of this morning's Valentine's celebration, if I might call it that way, I came across a statement, and before I knew it, I was sort of answering the questions in there for myself. Made me think quite deep. Let me read you the statement that I came across and see if you agree. It says, I didn't marry you because you were perfect. I loved you, but even that was not why I married you. I married you because you gave me a promise, and that promise made up for your faults. And the promise that I gave you made up for mine. Two imperfect people married, and it was the promise that made the marriage. And when our children were growing up, it wasn't a house that protected them. It wasn't even our love that protected them. It was that promise that we made to one another. Take some soul searching. Take some thinking. I can just say, I don't know about you, but I finally agreed with the statement. What is it that keeps families together in times like these? There may be nothing more important in a marriage than a determination, no matter what, that it shall persist. And with such a determination, individuals force themselves to adjust and to accept situations which could otherwise seem sufficient grounds for a breakup. Continuation of our relationships should be a prime objective. So easy to have a fallout with somebody and decide, well, I'm not going to talk to him or her again. I'm sorry, I'm done with them. For the sake of our Christian faith, stop that. Stop that. We need to break through We need not to sleep, we should not sleep, if we realize that we've created a distance between someone whom we previously respected, previously loved, or whatever the case may be. Relationships between people blossom when each one is conscious of God's presence. Where families join together in seeking God's presence in their lives, in their promises, in their relationships, there will be stability and peace and love and laughter. The family that prays together stays together. The family that glows together grows together. That's the kind of peace that Christ promised us. A peace that will last, that the world cannot take away from us. There is no substitute for love and romance in our marriages, and neither for the constant and conscious showing of affection. And most of us desire it, whether we are able to admit it or not. And also our children, may I add, not only our kids at home, if we still have any, our children of all ages need our outward displays of affection. And we never outgrow that need. No one is ever too old to be held and loved. What makes a couple one flesh when they marry is not really the flesh, but it is the spirit. It is an act of commitment. We become truly one, not only when our spirits unite, but also when the peace of mind and heart that Christ gives are part of our love and devotion for one another. Relationships blossom when we are conscious of God's presence, when we've made the peace of mind and heart that Christ gives a part of our innermost selves. And that remains true whatever relationship we are in with other people. Then our friendship and love become sincere and real, with the result that our relationships are enhanced with stability and peace and love and laughter. It reminds us of the love that Jesus expressed just before Calvary when he said, to those whom he loved most, I'm leaving you with a gift. I'm leaving you with peace of mind, peace of heart. And he said, the peace that I give, it's not fragile like the peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Well, it's no more than 2,000 years later. But you know what? When you hear those words, I'm leaving you with the gift of peace and mind and heart and love, then suddenly it becomes clear. All of us are Valentines. We are God's Valentines, after all. Let us pray. Our God, we come to you this day in a spirit of praise and thanksgiving for all the blessings you've bestowed upon us. Help us now to experience the sense of peace that comes from knowing that we do not have to earn your love and grace by what we do or say. Thank you for loving us anyway. Sometimes our hearts are troubled, our minds unsettled, our spirits confused. Grant us peace to entrust our lives to the guidance of your Holy Spirit, that we might not only see your light, but follow your light. Let your light shine on those who struggle in darkness, the addicted, the homeless, the unemployed, the exploited. Whatever stands in the way of their walking with dignity, help us to remove it. Let your light shine on all who are troubled or afraid, the sick, those who grieve, those in troubled relationships, those facing an uncertain future. Move us, O God, out of complacency through your indwelling Spirit, and enable us, your people, to minister to those in need. Heavenly Parent, let your light shine on us. Help us to know your will for our lives, and give us the courage to step out in faith and follow. And grant that we might sense in our hearts a peace, a lasting peace that passes all understanding. Once again, we place our trust in your grace, in your love, in the assurance of your presence. Therefore, we pray with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.